voice of truth and inspiration with a conversation that matters. Live from Los Angeles, we are making moments by illuminating new paths to a better way of being as we, as one, strive for higher planes of existence and a greater understanding of ourselves and the world in which we live. This is radio like you've never felt before. This is Life Changes with Filippo, with tonight's special guest, comedian, carpenter, author, father, husband, and all-around genius, Adam Carolla. And now your host, our MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
Well, hey, everybody. I'm Filippo Voltaggio, and I'm excited about today's show because we've got Adam Carolla on, and he's a cultural commentator, a comedian, a complainer extraordinaire, as some people have said, and all the things that Mark said at the intro here, and so much more. And is, in fact, he's got a not only a hit podcast show, but he's also got a TV show coming up starting, actually it just started. So he's a busy guy and he's, got a lot to say. So I'm going to be quick so we can, get to him. But it's interesting, a story that I wanted to share with you all, relates a little bit to how Adam kind of is in the world. And I think you'll get it when I share with you that I was invited about 8 years ago to an Italian event here in America. It was an event that was really well attended by Italian dignitaries and representatives of the government from Italy and those that are here in the United States. And it was a big shindig at one of the big hotels in Beverly Hills and in one of the grand ballrooms. And it was this really, really impressive affair. And the young lady that was asked to sing the national anthem was a young lady that I knew, and I was happy for her and was happy for the audience because I thought they would get a treat because she's got a lovely voice. And she got up and sang the Italian national anthem for all these dignitaries and everybody who was standing up, and most of them singing along in Italian. And she sang, and they were all, you could just tell, I'm a people watcher, so you could just tell they were proud and happy that this was being sung because it meant something to them. And halfway through the song, everybody, and I mean everybody, stopped singing because the singer went into a completely different melody. As a matter of fact, she went into completely different words and a completely different meaning. By the end of the song, or the anthem, I should say, in the Italian national anthem, there's this really powerful phrase that says, even translated, even to our death, we shall fight, even to our death, to protect our country and to protect our pride or whatever all it says, but even to our death, which is very different from what she ended up singing, which was, we want to die. And she repeated that over and over again. We want to die. We want to die. We want to die, which is very different for people fighting for what they believe in to just people saying they want to die. And it's interesting because in this particular song, unfortunately for this situation and this occasion, it ends with Italy asks us, do we want to rise and fight for our country? And it literally ends with the anthem, the words "si," which means yes, was our answer. Our answer was yes. Well, she sang in her version, do you want to die? Italy asks us, do you want to die? And we proudly answer yes. And then everybody, or almost everybody, applauded. Now, these were people who knew the national anthem, who obviously meant something to them. And if they believed in it, kind of like a prayer, or kind of like a mission or something, then you'd think that they wouldn't applaud wanting to die. And they wouldn't applaud somebody massacring their national anthem. You'd actually think that they would be quiet and somebody would tell somebody else, get somebody up there right away to sing it right, because we don't want to leave that out there. We don't want to lead this ceremony with that being what was sung as a representation of our national anthem. But no, everybody applauded and everybody minded their own business. And then business went on as usual. And I was dumbfounded. And I just couldn't believe it. Now, people had heard me sing the national anthem, and some of these people in charge of this event were at the table where I was sitting. They could have said, Filippo, could you run up there and do this right? Because they've heard me do it at other events. But nothing. Nothing. Well, interestingly enough, I don't know how many years later, at least 8 or 10, I was invited to another big shindig just a couple months ago. And there I was in the audience, and who should be asked to sing the national anthem but this young lady again? Now, I saw her before she sang, and I almost said to her, did you learn it right this time? I was going to probably say it in a little bit more polite version of that, but I was going to say something. But then I thought, no, I don't want to be like one of these old Italian men who just always have the right thing to, you know, they always say, you should do this and you should do that and you shouldn't this and you shouldn't that. And so I'm not going to do that to her. And then I thought, Jesus, it's been 10 years. Certainly somebody has told her, or certainly she's gone on to sing it somewhere else and she's learned to sing it right. So I, like everybody else, minded my own business and was polite about it all and didn't embarrass her, or didn't put her on the spot. But she put herself on the spot because once again, she sang the first half and everybody sang along. And then she went off on a whole different melody and everybody stopped singing and was horrified as she continued to sing a strange melody and say, we want to die, we want to die, yes. Now this young lady, everybody applauded again, except this time I didn't. And I went up to this young lady afterwards and I said, I noticed you brought a book on stage with you. Can I look at it, please? And she said, why, did I do it wrong? And I said, well, let me look at the book. I don't know if you did it wrong or if the book is wrong. And she says, oh my God, is that why everybody stopped singing halfway through? And I said, well, right. It's a different melody and different words. And I looked in the book and the young lady was singing exactly what was in the book. Sadly, it was a book of Italian songs written by an Italian or an Italian American, but it was completely wrong. But what was even more sad was that in these 10 years or however many years, if certainly she's sung this before for many audiences, even if it was just these two, nobody said anything to her, not then and not at this event. They said it to me. They made fun of her. They said that she shouldn't have been singing at all. But nobody went up to her and said, you might want to look at something else. That book is incorrect. And I ended up being that old man after all, or maybe not that old man, but maybe the person who minds their business, because maybe that was my business to tell her and to help her and to subsequently send her the correct lyrics and the correct melody. So in a way, that's kind of what Adam Carolla does. He maybe does it in a crotchety, old, angry kind of, you know, complainy way. But and we might not agree with everything he says or how he says it, but he's bringing stuff up and he's doing his part. Now we can finesse it and fix it or whatever and make it look different or sound different if you disagree with it. But at least he's bringing it up. And I'm glad we're bringing him on our show right after this.
Clean water is not enough. Reverse osmosis, distilled water, and most bottled waters are devoid of naturally occurring minerals. They are acidic, unstructured, and hard to absorb, and rob minerals from the body. IonWays ionizers produce a super abundant supply of powerful antioxidants in each glass. Ionized water has a reduced molecular cluster size and a negative charge, hydrating you up to 6 times better. Water from an IonWays ionizer will help you restore your body to its natural pH balance, boosting your vitality. And ionized water more effectively flushes acidic toxins from within your body. Drink the healthiest water available today. IonWays Water Systems, their water changes everything. To learn more about IonWays Water Systems and how you can own one today, visit our website at lifechangeswithfilippo.com and click on our sponsor page. You are listening to Life Changes with Filippo on the BBS Radio Network with your host, Filippo Voltaggio. You can visit us online via Twitter and Facebook, and at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O.
This is great. We're back, and I'm Filippo Voltaggio, and our show today has a really special guest. And I'm excited about this because he's not your run-of-the-mill kind of person. He's Adam Carolla, and he is known to all of you. Well, actually, maybe not to all of you, as a comedian and a carpenter, an author and a father and a husband. And he's actually, according to many, an all-around genius. He's known primarily for being Dr. Drew's better half on Loveline. And Adam has also starred in The Man Show, Family Guy, Dancing with the Stars, and his independent boxing film, The Hammer. You can download his totally hilarious and totally free daily rants on The Adam Carolla Show, the Guinness Book of World Records winning number one most downloaded podcast in the world. And you can get that at adamcarolla.com, C-A-R-O-L-L-A.com. But in the meantime, we've got him on the line. Adam, welcome to Life Changes with Filippo.
Thanks for having me, Filippo.
No, thank you. You know, we've met a couple times at different events, and each time I've told you about my show, you've kind of smirked and laughed, and a couple times I wasn't sure if you were joking. You'd say, "Yeah, sure, have me on that show," because to a lot of people, this show, they think it's about spirituality, or they think it's about just about consciousness. But in a really ironic sort of way, you're actually almost the perfect guest for us, because you're real and you talk from what you really feel. Where does that come from?
Well, I have a huge interest in psychology and the human condition and how people are wired. And, you know, I'm very interested in that. And I wouldn't call myself a spiritual person. I'm more of a sort of psychodynamic machinist. You know, I'm interested in what motivates people and how we function. And I essentially just look, you know, I'm basically an atheist who just sort of looks at people as another species running around on the planet a little further along than most of the other species. But, you know, when you study polar bears or reindeer or dolphins, and you're trying to get them to engage in a certain behavior, or you're trying to get them not to engage in a certain behavior, there's just things that you would do to motivate them or dissuade them. And I just sort of look at human beings as the same way, and I'm interested in it. And it comes out in the form of comedy, which is, you know, I understand how people work, and thus it's easy to tell some jokes that sort of speak to that. But the reality is most of the stuff I'm talking about is while it may be funny, there is some truth in it. And without getting too windy, I'm always perplexed why more people aren't interested in this topic, because it's the one topic, you know, you can argue the merits of math, English, grammar, knowing a second language or geography, but knowing how human beings work when you live in a world filled with them and depend on them to either give you a raise, have sex with you, or not shoot you, it seems like a ignored topic, considering how important it is.
It seems highly illogical that we don't talk about this more. Absolutely.
I think it's part of our condition. I mean, I think there is a plan, which is to stay away from it. When's the last time you heard a politician talk about speaking to a therapist or a psychologist?
No, they
go to
church.
All they do, or sociologists. All they do is have photo ops of them leaving church on Sunday, or, you know, when Bill Clinton gets caught with his dick in the cookie jar, he talks about speaking to his spiritual leaders and the clergy, and I spoke to my priest, and I went in, and we prayed on it. How come there's not one politician that ever talks about psychology and about how to motivate people? It's insane. I would much rather have a politician that went and saw a therapist on a Friday rather than went and saw a priest on a Sunday. And by the way, like they believe it.
You know, I wasn't even thinking of even going here, but since we're here, this whole Anthony Weiner thing, I mean, I kind of wish the guy would have said, hey, you know, this is none of you guys' business. It's between my wife and I, and my wife's fine with it, or my wife likes it, or what the hell do you all care, right?
I like that. I mean, I also wish that people would... And again, maybe it's a step in the right direction that he didn't evoke Jesus Christ or praying on it or talking to his, you know, calling Jesse Jackson in to have a sit down, have a confab with Jesse in his office and really get to the meat of the problem here. Pardon the pun. But I do wish they'd take it a step further, which is, you know, I have issues with my penis and my sexuality that has nothing to do with how I run the government.
Right.
And let's separate the two.
Right. Right.
It'd be nice. But instead, and then I don't know if he had to go to rehab. You know, there is some point where you have to go to sexual rehab or whatever rehab just to essentially send a message out to everyone that you recognize you have a problem. My only problem with the, you know, Wieners or the Clintons of the world is not what they're doing with their personal life, just more their decision-making process. Like, maybe now is not the time for this. Like, I don't mind, like, in a case of Bill Clinton, I don't mind that the guy is a sociopath, and I don't mind that he's addicted to sex. Most guys in power are addicted to sex. Or at least, you know, have issues involving that. And that's part of the reason they got into the business in the first place. I don't mind that he has women on the side. Historically, guys have always had women on the side, especially in positions of power. I mind that you think it would be a good idea to do this when you're essentially running the world for a very short period of time. That you literally couldn't keep it... Whatever your addiction, I mean, basically it's this. You are a prize fighter. You are training for the biggest fight of your life. This is the biggest payday and the biggest opportunity, and all eyes are going to be upon you, and you can't stay away from the ice cream while you're in training camp. You know what I mean? That's the part that bothers me about the whole thing.
That's what they call an addiction.
That's what they call an addiction. That's right. In the face of adverse consequences, you still could not let it go.
So back to this is exactly what I was talking about. You're a real guy, and this is you say what you really think, and you don't hold back. And thankfully, it comes out funny, and some people are able to hear it when it is funny more so than if obviously we're preaching or trying to teach or something. So I like that, but I have to tell you, I have to ask you rather. This reminds me of some of my uncles or, you know, some of the old Italian men growing up being also Italian American, that they used to be that way. And I used to laugh, and they weren't trying to be funny. I mean, are any of these people your role models?
Oh, my old Italian relatives?
You're right.
I did not know any of my family. I do have old Italian relatives growing up. My family's very distant and very disjointed and very especially un-Italian in their sort of in their approach to life. My dad grew up just really poor in South Philly. He had a couple of brothers named Mario and Ralph. His dad died when he was 18. I never knew him. I never knew my mother's father either. He died or took off or liver exploded or something before I came around. So really my mom was the only child, and the only family I had was my uncle Mario and Ralph, who stayed in South Philly. They never got on an airplane to ever come out here. We never got on an airplane to go to Philly. I really didn't even know my dad had family, much less brothers, growing up. And it's basically, I just grew up in California, essentially not being aware of this Italian family I had living in Philadelphia, because my dad was so it's this sort of combination of when you don't care, 3,000 miles is a long way to travel. And there wasn't really, the thing about my family that's really weird is there wasn't any animosity. It wasn't like my dad had a falling out with his brother Mario in 1971 and they never spoke again. They had no problem with each other. It's just, you live in Philly, I live in California. We're both poor, plane tickets are expensive, long distance calls ain't cheap, and that'll be the end of that.
And there was no Skype.
I never saw him. I never spoke to him.
Wow. Well, that's interesting. Well, you've just proven the theory that it's in the genes, because you remind me so much of some of these characters that I grew up with. And the interesting thing is, and that you didn't know them growing up, so you didn't get it from your environment. But the interesting thing is that they were right. And we, some of us kids, we used to listen to what was being said at school or what was being told to us on TV by the politicians or what have you. And then these old crotchety men would just sit there and said, oh, it's all bullshit and you shouldn't believe that. And someday you'll see. And we just didn't believe them. And now we're all older and we think back, wow, they were right. So what is it that they have? The fact that they don't believe what's on TV? What is it that you have? Where do you get this logic?
Well, it's a simple truth. I mean, what you know, it's just a good sort of basic horse sense. There's the problem is quite simple. You start looking at issues and you start looking at problems and you try to solve those problems. And when you start getting to the root of those problems, you start finding answers that you're not comfortable with.
Right.
You know, you start thinking, you know, I live in Los Angeles. We have a horrible problem here with illegal immigration and Hispanic students, you know, literally 50% of, like, male Hispanics don't graduate high school. You know, they drop out. So that's a pretty big problem, and you want to correct that problem. So you start looking into, well, what's a causation? What is the problem? What causes this problem? And you start looking into it, and the truth is the Hispanic culture does not put an emphasis on education. So when the kids come home, they don't study. Their parents don't force them to study. There's a language issue in there. And unlike some of the other cultures, like the Asian cultures, who are oftentimes just as poor but do much better in school,
right?
You look into this and you find out, well, these people, they don't put an emphasis on education. Their parents don't tell them to study. Thus, they do horribly in high school, and thus they drop out, and the parents don't seem to care as much as they should, and now we have this problem. But once you get to that, now you realize, wait a minute, seems like we're pointing the finger at somebody. It seems like we're pointing the finger at a culture. It seems like there's little, maybe just little hints of xenophobia here or racism involved. So we know what the truth is. Let's get away from that and focus on something that's a little less offensive. Let's see. Let's talk about the teachers. Why aren't they doing a better job with these people? Let's talk about the government. Let's talk about hot lunch programs. Let's talk about anything but what the real problem is, because the real problem is pretty uncomfortable. And nobody wants to get into that. Now, obviously, it doesn't take an advanced degree to figure out that the kids that do well in school have parents that are intact and ask questions like, where's your homework? Did you study? Let me help you with your homework. And the students that don't do so well have passive parents. I had the same parents. They never asked if I did homework. They never said, where's your books? They never said, let me talk to your teachers. And thus, I was a horrible student. It's pretty straightforward. But if you want to start looking into the water supply in my municipality or the hot lunch program or what the teachers aren't doing, you're just chasing butterflies at that point. But it's a lot more comfortable than pointing a finger at a culture, and no politician's ever going to do that.
Mm. See, this is why I say that you're like the perfect guest here, because actually somebody wrote about you, and it was in an article that they were not happy with some of the things that you said, but ironically, they paid you some of the biggest compliments in so doing. I love this, that they said your mission, your comedic mission, is to highlight social divisions and to help bridge a divide, which is exactly what you're talking about in this particular case. Where did they get that? Did they come up with that, or do you actually say that?
I'm not interested in helping anybody. I'm really only interested in the truth. And if, you know, if there's a disproportionate number of black males that are locked up in prison, or a disproportionate number of Hispanic males that aren't graduating from high school, or disproportionate number of anything for any in any situation, whether it's a cultural situation or not, I'm just interested in figuring out whatever the truth is that would solve that problem. I guess then that would bridge the gap between folks that graduated and didn't graduate and folks that were incarcerated and weren't incarcerated. That's really not my mission. My mission is just to understand what motivates people, see if I can make them laugh along the way, but also see if we can solve a couple of pretty solvable problems. Dropping off sacks of grain in Africa is not going to solve any problems. And anyone who thinks it does, we've been doing it for 50 years. How many problems has it solved? Getting them not to crap out as many kids as they're crapping out, that would solve some problems. But nobody wants to talk about that. We just want to drop off more grain. And and like the way we look when we look in the mirror. You know what I'm saying?
You know, I'm laughing because...
drop off some... I had this campaign that a friend of mine came up with, which for the continent of Africa, I don't know how what kind of language I can use
on your, ahead.
On your show. But basically, a friend of mine who's a writing partner of mine said, look, if we could just convince that whole nation to come on the tits, they'd clean up that place in 20 years.
Could you explain, please?
Instead of getting everyone pregnant, instead of the average person being pregnant by 15,
okay.
Literally finish off in another place. That whole mess would straighten itself out pretty quickly.
And make it fashionable.
Yes, yes. Start a campaign instead of dropping off more sacks of grain. But anyway, no one wants to talk about that, and then I'm a heretic for bringing that up. I'm really just an atheist.
I got a good laugh out of it. I can't wait to see the emails that come in. You know, actually, you talk about something that I've never heard anybody talk about, and it's interesting because you're very much into the quote unquote man thing. Which, how more appropriate that you're the one that talks about this. You're saying that men are portrayed on television as buffoons, and that we're not that dumb. And if you look at it, it's kind of like man bashing. But for some reason, it's okay, and I don't get that. Why is that okay? It obviously
why
isn't.
Why is it okay? Because we're number one. You can't bash someone. If someone is down, obviously, whenever there's a situation where there's the three white guys and the one black guy and they're in the office space, it's the three white guys that are acting like idiots and then the one black guy is rolling his eyes. If you had three black guys acting like idiots and one white guy rolling his eyes about how stupid they were, there would be letters written, obviously. You can't do that. It's like, look. Every single one of those ADT security commercials has a white criminal. Every single one of them. Every single one of them has a white guy kicking in the front door. Everyone. Why, do you think every single criminal is white? No, but if you made every single one of them black or Hispanic, or you spread, well, if you made them Asian, it'd be confusing. The point is this. Every criminal is white, and every buffoon is a white. First off, the husbands are lazy, you know, where the wife says, you know, honey, we need to go to the Home Depot to get some work done this weekend. And the guy says, what? I don't want to get off the sofa. I'm watching arena football. Come on, honey. Come on. We're coming down to the Home Depot and getting some work done. Or there's always the one where the mother is left town for the weekend to visit her ailing mother. And she's saying to the husband, she's calling, how's it going? Are you doing okay? How's breakfast going, as the guy is dumping the waffle batter into the toaster and sparks are flying out? Of course. Of course we're portrayed as lazy and stupid. But of course we're smarter and more motivated. Who builds every bridge? Who builds every skyscraper? How do we get to the moon? A bunch of chicks? Are you kidding me? It's easy. It's an easy equation. We're doing better.
We're talking smarter. We weren't comparing the men to the chicks. We were comparing the men as they're portrayed on television as buffoons. Now this is a whole different thing.
What's that?
Well, we were talking about how men are portrayed as buffoons, and so you're saying who builds the bridges? Obviously not the buffoons. So we're in agreement on that. Now whether the chicks aren't building bridges, I don't know about all that.
Would we be on the moon? Who got us to the moon?
I'm
an Asian, 50-50. What do you think the ratio would be on getting us to moon? 50-50 men and women?
Well, I think at the time the women weren't even involved. So
why not?
Because the men were number one, right? So
we didn't let them get involved. How did
get
that
we didn't.
Way? How did we
but
get
I wasn't
to that
there.
Point?
But I wasn't there, so I don't know.
Listen, we do things better than they do, and they do things better than we do. There's certain things they do better than we do, and certain things we do better than they do. But building bridges is something we do better. And by the way, you know, every one of these commercials where the guy can't cook, how many Michelin-rated chefs are men versus women? Aren't all the famous chefs dudes? You don't think we can cook better than women, too? We don't bother with it, but you don't think we're better at it?
Actually, obviously, men do bother with it, and obviously they're very good at it. And it's interesting that you should say that, because it was always the women, growing up Italian-American, that cooked. Always, always, always. But
yeah, you know why? Because men were lazy, and we didn't feel like it.
But on special occasions, the men
were better at it.
On special occasions, the men would cook, and it would be extremely delicious. And I wondered, well, how come they're never cooking? Probably the same reason why you say some men don't like to go get the cement out of the truck, and some men do get it.
Yeah, my point is this. Women are much better at certain things, and men are better at other things.
I get
and
that.
The commercials were... guys, and it's not guys, it's essentially white guys, are considered buffoons, and all males in general are just buffoons, and their wives are twice as smart as them. Look at it this way. How about every commercial where they're for an air freshener, it's the guy who's stinking up the place? Oh, look at him with his stinky socks and his cigars.
Right.
He's frying up catfish. And the woman following him around trying to get him not to smell so much.
Right.
Look,
right,
guy, we're number one, so anyone can make fun of us. You can't speak the truth. It's just what I talked about before. Look, you have to have all white criminals, because what are you going to do as a white guy? Call ADT and go, hey, man, I'm pretty cheesed off about this inaccurate depiction. No, you don't care. But if you made them all black, then you'd have Jesse Jackson up your ass, and they don't want that. So
well,
make it the group that's not going to complain. Do you see what I'm saying?
I see what you're saying. And for all of you listening, Adam's been talking about number one. And Adam's show is the number one most downloaded daily broadband show since its debut in March of 2009. It's number one on iTunes, and he's got over 200,000 daily listeners. Our guest today has been and is Adam Carolla, and you can learn more about Adam Carolla and download his podcast at adamcarolla.com, and that's Carolla as in Carolla.com. And when we come back, we're going to be talking about his book. I love this name, actually. In 50 years, we'll all be chicks. So stay tuned. We'll be back with Adam Carolla on Life Changes with Filippo right after this.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening. Someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
You are listening to Life Changes with Filippo on the BBS Radio Network with our host, Filippo Voltaggio. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as David Wilcock, Mariel Hemingway, Giorgio Tsoukalos, Marcy Shymoff, and Shadow Stevens on our archive page at our website at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O.com. Remember, you can also connect with us via Twitter and Facebook, and now in our own community at lifechangesnetwork.com, where real people come together to share real life in real time. That's lifechangesnetwork.com.
Well, I'm Filippo Voltaggio, and we're back with our guest Adam Carolla today, who's been he's been touching on a lot of subjects, and some of you may agree, and some of you may not agree. But the point is that there's some logic here that we're not looking at, and he's been known as a cultural commentator, a comedian, and a complainer extraordinaire. And it's interesting because some of the complaints, you know how they say, like, what is it, the squeakiest wheel gets the oil or something like that? It's like, here we are.
Yeah, they also say the nail that hangs out gets the hammer. So there's kind of two. There's two. You can squeak and you'll get grease, which is a good side of it. But getting the hammer doesn't feel good either.
Actually, you know a lot about grease. You're kind of a mechanic and at heart, in a sense, and you like machines, cars, and you've got a new show coming out called the car show?
Called the Car Show, yeah.
Yeah,
coming out on the Speed Channel, and comes out Wednesday, July 13th.
And you're gonna. Share, I mean, is it just about what is it, fixing it, or what they do, or
just basically all things cars, just all cars.
See, now that's fun stuff. That's just fun. You're saying I like this, I'm good at this. There are other people that like this and they're good at it, and let's talk about it and enjoy that. Now, however, in 50 years, we'll all be chicks. What?
Well. You have to understand, when you're writing a book, and you want to write a book, and the book really, truthfully, should just be called Stuff Adam Thinks About While He's Driving, but yeah. That doesn't sound exciting enough to the editor, so you have to come up with these names that are sort of provocative, and it's really stupid, because you end up coming up with a name like this, and then your editor goes, "Ooh, yeah, that's really provocative. We'll do that." And then people think it's a book about chicks or about transgendered people, or we have to talk about it. It's really 95% of the book is just me musing about food and about politics and about growing up in North Hollywood and stories, and it's really, it's got nothing to do with becoming women in 50 years. That's the problem, and I should probably try to avoid that my next time around as I work on my next book. But it was a general, it was thematic in the sense that what direction are we heading as a country? And everyone thinks, you know, it's evolved that guys are essentially becoming much more sensitive, which is fine. But I'm just saying, who's going to fix the car? Who's going to change the spare tire when you break down and it's raining on the side of the road? And then when you're in bed at 4 a.m. and you hear the kitchen window break, who's going downstairs? I mean, considering all things are equal now, we're all just Chaz Bono. Who's taking care of that?
Oh, jeez.
And, you know, and I've gotten into trouble with
no,
Vlad.
Really?
Well, here's the thing. See, I'm considered a lunatic because I think there's certain things that women do better than guys and certain things that guys do better than women. And I'm staring out the window at my two twins right now that are running around outside, and I said, all things being equal, if something happened to me and my wife, I would prefer they be raised by a mommy and a daddy versus two daddies or two mommies. And people have gone insane over this statement.
Yeah, you got a lot of slack for that, I remember.
I said, all things being equal, look, if the gay couple was doing better, had a safer car, lived in a better neighborhood, and, you know, sent the kids to private school, then I'd send them and let them be raised by the gay couple. But all things being equal, yeah, give me the mommy and the daddy. And people, our society's deteriorated, by the way, to the point where people go, okay, that's your opinion. It's not my opinion. That's nature's opinion. I didn't invent that. You think I made that up? How does it work in other forms of nature? You think it'd be better with two daddy polar bears raising the polar bear cub? Do you think it'd be better? And if so, then why not? What's up? You don't like nature? You got a beef with nature? It's not my opinion. It's like asking, it's like your opinion. It's like, oh, well, I believe in gravity. Well, that's your opinion. You're
okay. Well, technically, Adam, there are cultures in which the offspring are just raised by the mother, or I've never heard of just the father, but definitely just the mother, where the father goes away and goes do the same thing someplace else. Or
how are they doing? How's that culture doing?
Groups of women. Well, they're animals, not cultures. I'm sorry, animals.
All right,
but listen. I don't think
all
that's
things being
humans.
Equal, you have to pick one or the other: two dudes or mommy and daddy.
Right? No. I get your point. I'm just saying
it's
that you know all kinds of
I don't
things
even
exist
know why
out there.
Argue
but for humans, I'm with you.
Well, why? Why? Do you think nature didn't know what it was doing?
I'm talking about
we're
humans.
We're now getting into the point where we're starting to really get into questioning nature. Listen, I understand God. I mean, I'm an atheist. But nature? You want to start questioning nature's wisdom?
No, I'm actually, in a sense, I'm agreeing with you, but I'm just saying that there are animals that get raised by themselves. Like, the parents leave the animals because they've got everything they need to make it right away, and they're fine. And other animals are raised just by the mothers or just by a group of mothers and the father, you know. So there are different things in nature, but as humans...
What percentage?
Yeah, I would think...
Nature works that way.
In mammals, in mammals,
what percentage?
It's
less than 1%.
You know, you sound like you've studied this more than I have. So
I haven't
studied
it. The point is people like to bring up examples, but it's retarded because, of course, there are examples of kids who grow up in horrible homes and go off to college, and of course, there's examples of people that are abused and grow up in poverty and grow up around drugs and end up being upstanding citizens. There's always examples, but our job It's to not figure out the exception, but to figure out the rule. And of course, the rule in nature is male and females raise the kid or the offspring. That's the rule. There's always exceptions.
Right. An exception would be if the father is a weird guy with facial hair or weird facial hair, or the guy who says his wife is his best friend, or the guy who says he doesn't know the TV.
Here's the reason I'm being a dick. The reason I'm being a dick is because every time someone like me says, hey, man, what we need to do is take these kids and these single moms who are crapping out all these kids and get them on birth control, and then some asswipe raises his hand and says, did you know Senator so-and-so came from a family of 11 and his mother was a single mother who raised? And it's like, all right, that happens on occasion. But I'm looking at the majority here. I'm not saying it never can happen. I'm saying as a society, we need to look at the norm, not the exception. And you'd be an idiot if you looked at life any other way. Hey, I know this one guy, he drove without his seatbelt, and he got into an accident, and he got thrown clear of the accident, and he landed on a mattress that was in a field, and his car burst into flames. So if he had his seatbelt on, he'd be dead. Oh, okay. So we should not wear our seatbelts?
Agree.
No. That was an exception. But you bringing that up, and I don't mean you, Filippo, but I mean the asswipes that bring that up constantly, what is your message? Oh, okay, no seatbelts? Is that what you're saying? And if that's not what you're saying, then shut up.
Yeah, exactly. And just so you understood what I was saying, I was actually using your book to make what I thought is a pretty funny joke that you make about, I said, as long as the father isn't a guy who says he doesn't own a TV, or who has funny facial hair, or says his wife's his best friend, which were hysterical things that I read in an excerpt from your book. And I thought, this is funny that you point out this stuff. And some of us have fallen into these things. That's the beauty of some of your humor, to me, is that we could laugh at ourselves. We could see ourselves in some of these guys, for example, and say, yeah, I've done that. Yeah, that is pretty dorky of me, right?
Well, I appreciate that. The guys who, I know it's weird. I wouldn't call it funny facial hair, but it's more, it ends up being funny. But it's that meticulously groomed, you know, takes you at least an hour in the mirror every day to get that Sharpie thin sort of sideburn that comes around and turns into a mustache. It's like that beard, but it just looks like someone drew it on with a Sharpie, and it was just a single line going down your cheek and over your upper lip and around your chin. And I realized, the reason those guys have that disgusting facial hair is not because it looks good. It's because they get more mirror time in every morning. They get to stand and stare at themselves for an hour every morning in the mirror. It's narcissism.
Could it be they're trying to be different and get attention?
It is that, but when every second douchebag has that retarded facial hair, then how different are you? Jesus. I mean, if you think about it, it's sort of like a tattoo. You really, now 60% of people under 30 have a tattoo. How different are you? Or are you just joining an ever-increasing line full of douchebags who can't carve their own unique little corner out in this world, and instead they just have to pay for someone to put something on them?
You know, one of the things I really resonated from your book, In 50 Years We'll All Be Chicks, was the guy who wants to know where you got your cold. And not because of the cold, but because we talk about such meaningless things in this lifetime, so many of us in this culture, civilization, whatever, that here you are saying, let's talk about the important things, damn it. So, you know,
well,
not the cold.
That is a funny guy where you're... Just this notion, well, you see, You get sick once a year, maybe once every other year, if you're lucky. Do we need to get to the bottom of it? You know what I mean? Like, there's that guy, where'd you get, were you traveling? I always say this. There's in the book, it says, you know, the guy will go, where'd you get the cold? Yeah, what? And I always just say to him, I don't know, I'm sick. I get sick once a year or something. Uh-huh. You got kids? Yeah. They in preschool? Yeah. Okay, they brought them home. They probably brought, have you been traveling? Been traveling? Yeah, I've been traveling, doing some gigs. Yeah, airplanes, they recirculate the air. I basically, in the book, I just said, all right, Dick, next time I need to go to Chicago on business, I'll take a donkey, and I'll see about having those kids removed from the home immediately. Like, what the right. hell do you want me to do? What would you like me to do? Cease air travel and take my kids and drop them off at the orphanage? What do you want me to do with your non-information? You get sick once a year, big whoop. Who cares where you got it? And let me tell you something. I'm not one of these pussies that use Purell, and I know that stuff's bullshit. I've never touched a crap in my life, and I get sick less than anybody I know. Quite
easily. There could be something to that.
Of course there's something to it. Remember I was telling you about nature. Don't you think nature knows what it's doing? You think nature intended us to take disinfectant and put it on us every 20 minutes?
There you go. You know, it's funny, but you obviously have millions of fans, and it's obvious. But what I think is great is that you have fans that you wouldn't think are your fans and that are, quote-unquote, sort of closeted about it. I was talking – I just recently did an Italian event, and there was this old Italian lady who saw that we were going to have you on the show, and she says, you know – and she started whispering – you know, I actually kind of like him. He's pretty funny. And she kind of looked around to make sure nobody was listening to her. And I thought, you know, that's what's great about us Americans. And that's what's also wrong with us is like, just say you like him already. So what if your other old lady or old man friends think you're crazy? It's like, that's what it's about.
Well, I understand people don't have time to fully investigate who you are and what you're about and what you do. You know, I've never hurt a human being. I'm married. I have two kids. I pay my taxes. I don't have ill will toward anyone. I just speak my mind, and it's what I know is the truth. Sadly, people hate it and they don't want to hear it, but it's true, and I don't have any problem with it. And the reason I do speak my mind is because I don't have any ill will toward anybody. And thus, I can say, you know, I just think of myself as like, I'm just a doctor. And if you got cancer, I'm going to say it. And I'm not going to worry about hurting your feelings because you need to know that you've got cancer and you got to start treatment. And people will be like, ooh, don't tell him that. You're going to hurt his feelings. It's like, that's not part of my job. My job is just to diagnose what's going on and then put it out there. I'll just go ahead and look at the MRI or look at the CAT scan or look at the X-ray of our society, and then I will explain to you if the femur's broken or not. And if it's broken, I'll say it's broken. That's it. I'm not interested in the feelings of the guy with the broken leg as much as I'd like him to heal his broken leg.
You know, and Adam, I'm really glad you brought that up, actually, because it reminded me of the love line. And though we only have a minute or so left, you can comment on this if you'd like. But I wanted to say that love line, I didn't listen to every show. I don't know if I would have agreed with everything that was said or if it was the right thing, you know, years later or whatever. But I do know that just by doing that show, you opened up topics that hadn't been opened up. You allowed teenagers and people to hear and talk about and experience things that they never would have by being able to express it and to hear about. So there was so much good that came out of you just talking or ranting about, you know, that time, whatever it was in that time period that needed to just break through. And sometimes you need to do it with a hammer and you can't do it with, you know, any other tool. Sometimes it's got to be that way. So that's kind of what I feel you were doing in a big way.
Yeah, I was just again, just calling them like I saw them, and as you do, if you do that job long enough, you will definitely start to see patterns. Right. And when you see those patterns, they repeat themselves. And, you know, everyone says, everyone would say, well, what makes you an expert? Or how's that, you know, that's just your opinion and blah, blah, blah. Here's the thing. I am a journeyman carpenter, and I can build a house, or I can build a cabinet, or I know it's not like I'm handy. I know what OSB stands for, and I know what CDX ply is, and I know the nailing schedule on shear wall, and I know everything. I know the difference between subfloor adhesive and drywall adhesive. I know it all. And the reason I know it all is because I did it. I did it for 12 years. I never read a book on it. I never took a class on it. I never went to school on it. I just did it full time. And Loveline, I just did that for 11 years. And thus, I'm an expert on 16-year-olds because that's all I did. And I don't know why the guy who reads the book on it gets to be the expert, but I don't because I did it for 11 years. You'd be an expert at it too. All you have to do is talk to about 20,000 kids and you'll get some answers. Why does Jane Goodall get to be an expert in chimps? She went and sat there and studied them, right?
Right. Right.
I just went and studied teenagers for 11 years and became an expert on teenagers.
And helped a lot of them in the process.
How does anyone who studies anything become anything? You know what I'm saying?
Well, expert or not, you did write a book with Drew. There's the Dr. Drew and Adam book, A Survival Guide to Life and Love. And, of course, he's also got this new book that's been out several months now, In 50 Years, We'll All Be Chicks. He's got the number one show, The Adam Carolla Show, that you could download at adamcarolla.com. I mean, you're just booming in the new car show coming up here on television. I hope you're having a lot of fun because it looks like it. When I see you on stage, when I see you with Jimmy, especially when I see you at the events, you're laughing.
Well, nah, I never have fun. It's just a job. I would much rather do work on my house and work on my cars and race cars and do ranch and all that. That's all I'm really interested in. But
well,
this pays the bills and it's not that bad.
Well, thank you so much for doing what you're doing and taking a break from being a carpenter to be a comedian and a complainer extraordinaire and a cultural commentator. I believe that this kind of voice is helping a lot of people, and I appreciate what you're doing.
Thanks, Philippe. I appreciate it.
Thanks for being on with us. Take care, Adam.
Sure.
See you soon. Bye.
Life Changes with Filippo is a premier radio show presented by Life Changes Network, which is a company whose team has dedicated their lives not only to positive change, but to helping others observe and embrace, honor, and even celebrate their own changes, thus enabling a more positive, inspired life and helping to create a more positive and inspired world. From everyday people to corporate giants, celebrities, and children, we are here to help and to serve. With heart and experience, we bring our message and positive intent into your home or corporate office, and even through appearances on your favorite shows. If you wish to learn more about Life Changes Life Coaching and a private consultation with one of us, corporate event appearances, or if you would like us to appear on your radio or TV shows, visit lifechangeswithfilippo.com and click on our representation page. You are listening to Life Changes with Filippo on the BBS Radio Network with your host, Filippo Voltaggio. You can visit us online via Twitter and Facebook and at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O.
Okay, we're back. And here we've got our producer's wrap with our producer, Mark LeJour. And whoa, what a show.
I'm not quite sure how to follow that.
Except maybe say, and that's our show.
And boy, what a show it was.
He doesn't stop. I mean, as if he has a bone to pick, but in a sense he really doesn't, because he just kind of goes about his life after he says what he says, and you know, and so I kind of like the fact that he's putting it out there, and now you deal with it, kind of thing. You know what I mean?
Well, that's it. He says, you know, a lot of people think things that are outside of society's box or opinion, but are afraid to voice it. You know, in his search for truth, he's also willing to put his out there, and a lot of it resonates with me, and I think with a lot of what we talk about. Some of it certainly challenges some of what we talk about, but all of it is his truth, and I love the fact that he doesn't mince.
Right, and you know, sometimes whether I agree with him 100% or not, he makes me laugh. And again, it's because he's coming from, like he said, you know, he's not a bad guy. He's not trying to hurt anyone. He's just trying to say, you know, this is how I see it. And in a sense, it's kind of like, let's really look at this, people. And I find it funny. I find it funny.
Well, I think finding it funny is the brilliance in this. Because we live in a society that is so polarized based on programming and therefore opinion, that is, you know, diagnosed based on reference from programming, that we almost can't talk about things. You know, it turns into arguments, it turns into fights, it turns into judgment. And he puts it out there in such a way that you can have sensitive, conventional, wisdom challenging discussions. But you can actually have those discussions because you can laugh about it a little bit, and you can poke at it a little bit, and you can have fun, and you can challenge. But it's a fun experience because we're exploring our opinions rather than judging, attacking, or people being threatened by the challenge that opinion may bring.
Yeah, I don't know if he actually thought, to illustrate your point, if he actually thought I said something in particular or not. Because even if he did, he said, you know, Filippo, I'm not talking about you when I say this, but some of these a-holes, when they bring it up, so, you know, or whatever it was he said, it's like he said, you know, in a sense, he's saying, let's not take it personally. Let's really look at the issue here.
Yeah, that's, I think, the way it appears, the way he approaches things is really by kind of getting to the truth and getting past the sensitivities of individual belief systems, right? You're not going to make everybody happy, so I'm just going to put it out there, and those that aren't happy, you know, are going to hang up or stop listening, and those that are happy are going to agree, and then the other ones that want to think about what I just said are now going to start to reconsider their position. And that's his, you know, it doesn't work for everybody. It works for him. And he's done a lot of good with that because, you know, especially when he was talking about dealing with younger kids. Sometimes, right. You know, there's so much that happens with children. It's, I noticed this watching shows like American Idol. Some of these contestants come on and they are so disconnected with the reality of how people may perceive them or what the expectation is, where the bar is set. And they're completely destroyed when they're told they can't sing or when they're judged in that way. And it reflects only to the fact that they have had people around them that have been afraid to tell them the truth all of their life. Right. And not necessarily that it has to be done in a harsh way, but afraid to direct them and coach them and be with them as they find a different path or something new or improve on what they're doing. So instead, the bar is set and they live in a certain acceptable, you know, mediocre position that never gets challenged until suddenly, boom, they're, you know, exposed to the whole world and this truth is uncovered. Well, that's kind of what I think a lot of kids deal with, is because parents don't want to hurt their kids' feelings. So they're going to, yes, you go and you do that and you're a great singer or you're a great soccer player, whatever the case may be. And maybe that kid, they're trying something new, or maybe they're just not meant to sing or meant to play soccer. Maybe there's something different that they're meant to do, but they don't know any different because they've heard, I'm a great singer or I'm a great soccer player, because of the lack of truth that is around that communication. And there's definitely an argument for Adam's brand of comedy and what he does and his ability to, and desire to kind of just lay it out there.
Mark, kind of to your point, like my monologue at the beginning with the young lady singing the national anthem wrong and nobody saying anything, you know. So I'm sure she was more mortified now, thinking probably back on all of the times that she, you know, sang it wrong and all the people that heard her sing it wrong, than if somebody would have just told her the first time.
Precisely.
You know, it's interesting. And then the other thing you said was Adam's brand of humor. And you know, I'm sure, I know I've heard it argued actually in a couple communities how, you know, he's an adult and he shouldn't speak that way with kids because he needs to set an example for kids and yada, yada, yada. And whether we agree with that or not, it's interesting that as a child, I remember having a conversation with an adult about Madonna, the singer, and how they were saying some of the same things, you know, she shouldn't act like that or she shouldn't put that kind of stuff out there, whatever. And I remember as a child having the understanding, and I said, you know, maybe Madonna is just gathering acceptance from a whole group of disturbed people or confused people or whatever that feel like they have to dress like her or what have you. And I said, but maybe, just maybe, after she's gained all that and people are following her and dressing like her, et cetera, maybe she'll turn around and do one thing or say one thing or encourage them to do even one thing that could really make a difference in their lives or the other people's lives or the world. And I said, and in that case, she will probably have done more for their souls or their, or the world than a lot of our priests or prophets or whatever you want to call, you know, teachers of today.
Yes, the same way with Adam and Madonna and so many role models. You know, they resonate with the kids. You know, they resonate with those that are listening. You know, it's interesting that the people that say that judge most that she shouldn't be doing that, or that Adam shouldn't talk like he does, or that others shouldn't do what they do, are the ones that are most challenged by those statements, or the ones that typically you know, are being shown you know, a side of themselves that they're not comfortable with.
Interesting.
And therefore, you know, the most likely to judge, you know, it goes back to those without a sin throw the first stone. Right. You know, it's so interesting in our society how we're so quick to judge, and yet the kids don't listen to those people. The kids listen to the kids are going to hear what they hear. They're going to hear the kids, you know, what are speaking in them, what are making them feel alive. And if it happens to be Madonna or if it happens to be Adam, then yeah, so much good can be done because they're hearing. And I think that's so powerful.
You know, and maybe because young kids have a sense of who's being real as opposed to just talking out of, well, saying something that they don't necessarily believe or saying something that they don't necessarily do themselves. So, but when Adam speaks or Madonna speaks, it's just, they're just being themselves and they're being real and they're not trying to hide who they are. And they're also not trying to pretend they're something else. And that goes a long way with especially kids who feel truth.
Yeah. I think more so kids, you know, are apt. They're not jaded yet. And so, like you say, they feel truth, which means they are much more perceptive to what is being said and much quicker to write off the type of discussion that isn't coming from truth, right? And to not listen and to tune out.
Yeah. That's it. That, you know, there's so much... There's so much good here, and I'm really glad we're having this conversation because this is one that we'll need to have more and more. And it alludes to what Adam was saying about the politicians and the going to church kind of thing and being pictured there, but not learning about psychology or telling truth or what have you. Obviously, we're going to need more truth if we're going to be able to move forward, because more and more of us are tuning in and saying, that's not real, or he doesn't believe that, or that's bullshit.
Very, very true. Very true.
Well, you're obviously letting me have the last word with that, and I appreciate that, because actually our time is up for now, and I've... I've enjoyed this show. It's been a departure from what we've done before, and maybe the pendulum has swung a little bit further to the other side. But we'll find the balance here that's right for all, and that's what my wish is for us in our lives, in our families, in our communities, in the world, that we find the balance. And sometimes, like Adam does, he uses his hammer and breaks through stuff, as the carpenter that he is, as well as comedian. He breaks through stuff and just busts it right open. And then we really have to look at it. And gosh, we've looked at a lot of things today. And I look forward to looking to more things with all of you on as we move forward. As a matter of fact, our next show is going to be with Lynn McTaggart. And that's going to be great. We're going to talk about her book, The Bond, and obviously the bond between all of us. All of us, including Mark Leisure, our producer, Dorothy Donahue, our producer, Seth Hendricks, our engineer, or in this case, Doug Newson, and Adam Carolla. The bond between all of us. I'm Filippo Voltaggio, and I'm grateful that you all are part of this show, part of this world, and part of the positive changes we all wish to see in the world. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to Life Changes with Filippo, with the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on the BBS Radio Network and visit us online at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O. Today's show has been made possible in part by our sponsors, IonWays Water Systems, Change Your Water, Change Your Life, and Love and Miracles with Dorothy Lee Donahue. To learn more about them, visit the sponsor page of our website. Once again, join us here next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes. Change the world. Now's the time. Now's the time.